The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
What up, world? Welcome all to another episode of The Ocho, presented to you in partnership, as always, with SB Nation's blog and theboys.com. My name, RJ Ochoa. You know me, of course, from BTB and from writers, your humble host, Don of The Ocho. It is Thursday, the third day, April 4th, 2024. We hope all is well wherever you are. We hope you're happy, safe, healthy. And I do want to let you know that what you are listening to or watching is something that you can listen to or watch. This is one of those double episodes of The Ocho that is accessible both on the Blog and the Boys podcast network. Make sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, Apple devices, Spotify, et cetera, or on the Blogging the Boys YouTube channel. Search for us on YouTube. Like our channel. We have a lot of live things happening all the time, a lot of recorded things that we upload, like this video. So basically, you do not want to miss it. It is basically a TV channel for all things Blogging the Boys and therefore all things Dallas Cowboys, plus the NFL draft in 3 weeks. You know that we will have live shows. We are very, very, very much looking forward to that. But today we're going to be having a conversation about, well, three different things. And I wanted to make sure that we hit both audiences because I know that some of you only listen and some of you only watch, although I appreciate those of you who do both. So thank you very much, whatever your cup of tea is. We're grateful that you have a cup in general. So I'm recording this just so you're fully aware, transparency? Is that the one I'm looking for? Full transparency. It is Wednesday, April the 3rd, 3 p.m. Central Standard Time for me. Sports have not been going my way this week. Obviously, my San Antonio Spurs have been losing. My Houston Astros have one win on the season. It was a no-hitter, but still, it would be cool if the Astros could stop doing stupid things. And obviously, we're all here because the Dallas Cowboys have upset us in some way, shape, or form. Now, I mentioned three different things. Now, they're all effectively tied together in the same way, but they are three different things to talk about nonetheless. First things first. The Derrick Henry thing for the Cowboys is upsetting. All right. The Derrick Henry thing was and remains to be upsetting. In case you do not know, in case you did not see, right after Derrick Henry signed with the Baltimore Ravens, he was interviewed by Adam Schein on CBS Sports Radio. I think it was CBS Sports Radio. Apologies if it wasn't. And he was asked specifically if the Cowboys ever called him because the Cowboys had kind of been connected to Henry, at least in a rumor sense, leading up to the legal tampering period opening and obviously leading up to free agency in earnest. And Derrick Henry said, yeah, they never called. And it was kind of a big deal. We talked about it a little bit. And that was frustrating, but this subject has reared its ugly head once again. If you're watching, we'll have some materials for you up on the screen, but if you're listening, don't worry, I've got you. Derrick Henry was on The Pivot last week, and sometimes when something like this happens, it takes a little bit of time for a certain quote to get aggregated enough to where it becomes a big national talking point. That's what we're here today. So this is an article from NFL.com. They were kind enough to transcribe it. I did also write about this at Blog on the Boys. It'll be out probably sometime on Thursday, I would guess. We'll take a look at that. But either way, this is Henry's quote on The Pivot. I knew once free agency started that I wanted to work something out with the Ravens if we could. Even though I'm living in Dallas and Dallas being a perfect situation as well, because we lived there, we ain't got to move. But at the same time, the Ravens, blah, blah, blah. And he goes on to talk about how the Ravens were a great fit for him. Now, when it was reported about Derrick Henry's house or whatever, everybody was all kind of up in a tizzy thinking maybe he would join the Cowboys. That obviously did not happen. He noted here, they ain't holla at me at all, was his exact answer when he was asked if the Cowboys were in the mix, and that is very frustrating. He said, it would have been crazy. I thought it'd been some type of reach out, some type of talks or whatever. They never reached out. You know what I'm saying? I don't really know too much about their organization. All I know is what I hear. I was talking to my agent. They weren't really interested. It is where it is. Like I said earlier, I'm going to be where I'm going to be, and I feel like Baltimore was the perfect spot. Now, maybe you are somebody who feels like you didn't want to see the Cowboys devote serious resources towards the running back position. And I understand if you think that Derrick Henry is maybe making too much money and you're in the I don't want to pay a running back, you know, camp, you running backs don't matter, blah, blah, blah. Before we take a look at his contract, I do want to show you one last thing he said, because this was an interesting quote. Here we go. Let's put it back on the screen for you here at the bottom. And I don't know if this is a shot of the Cowboys, but here's the quote nonetheless. I'm happy I'm going somewhere that they're hungry, he said. They're hungry for it, and they're right on the cusp. They're always in the conversation. I know Lamar wants one really bad, so I ain't going to somewhere where the expectation is like, we're going to see what's going to happen. Let's make the playoffs, and let's make some noise. No, they're trying to win it. Being so close and losing that game to Kansas City, I know they're hungry. I know they're going to come in with the right mindset, and let's get to it. I'm ready to come in and be that added piece to it to help spring them forward any way possible, any way I can. And I don't want to speak for any of you, but I feel like if he had signed with the Dallas Cowboys, Derrick Henry, and if he had offered that same quote, if he had said, I'm glad to be somewhere where they're hungry, I'm glad to be somewhere where they're challenging, I'm glad to be somewhere where they're going for it, like whatever, you know, parse it how you want. I think we would have allowed ourselves to get emotionally carried away, right? Just kind of knowing how we can be as Cowboys fans. We would have allowed ourselves to disconnect from the frustrating playoff loss to Green Bay, and we would have allowed ourselves to start drinking the Kool-Aid once more, right? I have an empty bottle of Blue Powerade. It would have been just like that. That would have been incredible. That would have been exactly what you wanted to hear about your team. And I'm not saying that because Derrick Henry said this about the Ravens that he feels the opposite about the Cowboys, but think about that quote and think about the fact that Dallas didn't even call him, right? It's difficult to take the Cowboys seriously when they're not even calling players. And I don't mean to just lean on silly little semantic things like that, but let's take a look. This is an ad on overthecap.com. Here we go. This is Derrick Henry's contract. We're talking about Derrick Henry, and they do such a great job with little blurbs here. Derrick Henry signed a two-year, $16 million contract with the Ravens. $9 million is guaranteed, including a $7.79 million signing bonus. Derrick Henry's cap, in 2024. This year is $5.1 million. I don't even have this on the screen. Let's get this up. There you go. For those of you who are looking at it, this is his contract. Although the podcast, I didn't get all of that. Hey, sometimes when we're doing these multi-platform shows, we run into situations like that. That's my bet. But $5.1 million. You cannot convince me that this would not have been a great idea for the Dallas Cowboys. And it's really not even about Derrick Henry. It's really just about the principle of it all. It's really about, I said this on my radio show on Wednesday. I'm not so mad about the Cowboys not signing Derrick Henry as much as I'm mad about something in a more macro sense. I'm mad that the Cowboys did not sign Derrick Henry, did not sign Austin Ekeler, did not sign Saquon Barkley, did not sign Devin Singletary, did not sign Tony Pollard to bring Tony Pollard back, right? Pick the name that you want. And I'm not necessarily even mad about any specific player. I'm mad because now all we're hearing is Jonathan Brooks, Jonathan Brooks, Jonathan Brooks. In fact, let's take a look at the Cowboys 30 visit list. Let me pull this up right here because the reported 30 visit list, at least at this moment in time, as we get it, here we go. 30 visit list is coming up on your screen right now. And I'm going to make sure that I actually put it on your screen for those of you who are watching on YouTube, not like that situation we had a moment ago. Here we go. This is the reported Dallas Cowboys 30 visit list. You can check it out at blogontheboys.com. I'm not going to go through everything, but the names for the purposes of this discussion, we've got Trey Benson out of Florida State, the aforementioned Jonathan Brooks, Braylon Allen from Wisconsin, Bucky Irving out of Oregon. We've got Rasheen Ali out of Marshall. We've got Nathaniel Watson's linebacker. I saw the B for a second and jumped to it. But my point is, I'm mad that there are so many running backs that the Cowboys are being connected to because the Cowboys are now going to have to spend, in all likelihood, a premium asset, a top 100 pick, on a position that they could have addressed in free agency. What I'm mad about is that they continue to paint themselves into these corners. The Cowboys continue to pigeonhole themselves. They continue to leave themselves no room for error, no realistic options, and they sit here and they say, well, what are we going to do? We need a running back. We're going to have to draft one. And what I've been bringing up all week long is the 2022 NFL draft. If you give me a second, I'll pull this draft. Actually, I don't even need to pull it up for you. I'll tell you just with my words. In 2022, 2 years ago, we all killed the Cowboys, and they won 12 games. I want to be very clear about that. But we killed them, and we were wrong. Fine, enjoy it, Cowboys, whatever. But that came at a price, us being wrong, because now the Cowboys think that they're always right. The Cowboys notably cut Lyle Collins. They notably traded away Amari Cooper. They notably missed out on Randy Gregory with that whole fiasco in the Denver Broncos. And you can look back on that and say that the Cowboys were right to move on from Lyle and the Cowboys were right to move on from Randy Gregory. Nobody can tell me they were right to move on from Amari Cooper. But they made those three decisions. They purposefully departed from those three players. Their first three picks in the 2022 NFL draft were Tyler Smith, not their literal Lyle replacement, but you get the point in that he was their effective tackle, lineman, whatever replacement. You get the point. Tyler Smith effectively replaced Lyle Collins. Second round pick, Sam Williams, replaced Randy Gregory. Third round pick, Jalen Tolbert, replaced Amari Cooper. And then they came out and tried to tell us that they drafted exclusively based off of the best player available principle, that they got so lucky that the best player available mindset just happened to coincidentally line up with their exact positional needs. And if the Cowboys do draft Jonathan Brooks in the second round this year, like a lot of people think that they will, I'm not willing to go that far yet myself, we will have to put up with and hear how he was the best player available, how he would have been a first round pick if not for the injury, blah, blah, blah. And that's what upsets me. That's what I'm mad about, that they continue to put themselves in situations where they feel like that is the best course of action. Raise the floor, take care of problems before they become problems. Kind of like the way the Cowboys re-signed Chuma Adoga on Wednesday. I don't have a problem with Chuma Adoga. I feel badly for him that because of the toxicity that is surrounding this team, that his returning to the team is met with such consternation. But that's the kind of move we like to see. We like to see you saying, you know what? We want to have some depth. We want to have an option. We want to have a body there. Let's go bring back Chuma Adoga. Well done. You get an attaboy. You get some claps for that. But you should have done that at all of these positions, at tackle, starting tackle, at center, at running back. You've left yourself way too thin at so many important positions that now you're going to have to draft based on need. That's what I'm mad about. And so to hear Derrick Henry say that they didn't even call him is really, really, really really, 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 really frustrating. But that, you know, that does it for the Derrick Henry report of this Derrick Henry portion of this conversation. I mentioned we had three things to get to. Let's get to number two.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prof G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Kara Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prop G Pod, we bring you insights from Blue Flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. Super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. And not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds four times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
It's obviously related. This idea that the Cowboys, and I'm sorry if you're somebody who believes this, all right? If you do, let me tell you about Santa and the Tooth Fairy and about my beachfront property in, I don't know, Des Moines, Iowa. I don't even know if there, maybe there's a beach. I really don't know, but you get the point. If you believe, if you truly believe that the Cowboys are just stuck, that the poor Cowboys have nowhere to turn, that they're just out of cap space, that how could they possibly get out of this situation? Dak Prescott's holding them hostage. Then you really need to reevaluate the way you're looking at this whole situation. This is not an idea that you have to accept. This is not an idea that is necessarily even completely true. Now, I'm a big fan of Michael Gelkins. We're going to put his tweet up on the screen for you right here. Here it is right now. There we go. It's difficult. This is my, so Michael Gelkins tweeted the Chuma Adoga news and that this happened like 5 minutes after the Houston Texans traded for for Stephon Diggs on Wednesday. It just made it feel all the more hilarious. But Michael Gelkins tweet reading, it's difficult not to juxtapose moves the Cowboys and Texans are making. But while the teams share a state, they are in different worlds of salary cap management. Texans building around quarterback on rookie contract. Cowboys missed window long ago, now swim in water polluted with dead money. Okay, so my first issue with this is the Cowboys, yes, kudos to the Houston Texans and kudos to the Chicago Bears and the Washington Commanders. They don't have a CJ Stroud yet, obviously, but they're planning as if they're going to have one, right? They're building their team. They're overpaying some players. You know why they can overpay? Because they have a quarterback on a cheap rookie contract. So good for the Texans going out and getting Danielle Hunter and obviously trading for Stephon Diggs, among all the other things that they've done so far this offseason. Very, very, very good for the Texans. I know their fans are pissed they didn't get Saquon Barkley, but I think it'll be okay based on the Stephon Diggs thing. That being said, the Cowboys did not even do this. If we were 5 years removed at this point in time from the Cowboys looking at Dak Prescott's fourth round rookie contract and saying, man, we went all in. We really tried to just make these big swings and sign these big contracts and bring in these big time players. They didn't even do that. And if you want to tell me that they were dealing with the Tony Romo contract and the Tony Romo dead money because of his retirement, then you're committing the same crime, because it was the Cowboys who chose to make him a post June 1st cut after he retired in the 2017 offseason. It was the Cowboys who chose to not do anything. We have seen team after team after team, time after time after time in the new modern era, which is post the 2011 CBA, do everything in their power to manipulate the rookie quarterback contract to their ultimate advantage. Every single one of them has tried this, except for the Dallas Cowboys. And here's the thing, CJ Stroud was a top pick, right? Like, he was not the number one overall pick, but he was basically the number one overall pick. And the Texans are still finding a way to build around his cheap contract, because it is cheap relative to what obviously your top flight quarterbacks make. The Cowboys had the cheapest of cheap possible quarterback contract situations going on for them with Dak Prescott on not even a first round rookie quarterback contract, but a fourth round rookie quarterback contract. So you can miss me with this idea that, oh man, the Cowboys aren't in that position, because when they were, they did not do anything to take advantage of it. But that being said, the Cowboys could totally manipulate this situation if they wanted to. We have seen other teams who were in salary cap hell, the New Orleans Saints, even teams like the Los Angeles Rams or the Kansas City Chiefs, who carry Patrick Mahomes' big contract now, or the Philadelphia Eagles in different eras. I mean, we can name team after team after team. The New York Jets now with Aaron Rodgers, whatever. We have seen different teams find ways because they want to pursue something in that given moment in time. We have seen teams show an actual disposition and an attitude of aggression relative to roster construction. We have not seen that from the team, and we gave them their flowers. The idea that we're just being harsh graders is completely and totally wrong. Last year, we gave them their props when they sent fifth round draft picks to the Colts and to the aforementioned Texans for Stephon Gilmore and for Brandon Cooks. Where are those moves now? Where is that mentality? Where is that hunger? Where is that drive? We are not seeing it. It looks and feels and smells like a team completely and totally fine to rest on their laurels for whatever reason that I cannot possibly imagine. So do not fall for this. They are not stuck. They just do not want to do anything. And that's really unfortunate for you and me, because we're the people who want to root for this team. But that being said, I have one more thing to bring up. And I tried to structure these in ways that I thought would upset you the least at the beginning and potentially the most at the end, because I thought we could then kind of hug it out and be cool. In case you did not see this, I also wrote about this. Jerry Jones was listed as the second richest person in the sports world by Forbes. This came out on Wednesday. It came out on Tuesday, and it will bother you because right now it just looks like all the Cowboys care about is money. Let's put this up on the screen for the visual audience, the YouTube audience. Here we go. So what you're looking at here is Forbes' list. This is literally titled The Richest People in the World. I'll take that banner off for you. Now, I want to say that Forbes ranked this in a weird way, but it's up to them. If you are watching on the screen, you can see that I have put us in the sports category right here. There's all sorts of industries that people have achieved and amassed their wealth in, but we are in the sports tab nonetheless. So that being said, this is the sports tab. Stan Kroenke, who owns the Los Angeles Rams, the Denver Nuggets, Arsenal Football Club, they're terrible. He ranks 115th in overall wealth among all of the richest people in the world, regardless of industry. So what a real loser. I mean, at 115, being honest with you. But number one, how Forbes has defined sports, he sits with a net worth of $16.2 billion with a B. Dollars. Right behind him in the sports world at number two, but 137 overall, Jerry Jones, of course, of the Dallas Cowboys, $13.8 billion. Jerry is over $2 billion clear of Robert Kraft of the New England Patriots. He's at 11.1. Arthur Blank there at 8.4. Stephen Bisciotti at 7.2. Gail Benson at 6.1. The York family at 5.8. Janice McNair, speaking of the Texans, at 5.6. You go on and on and on and on. My guy Jim Crane is down here somewhere. There's Michael Jordan. Where was Jim Crane, just for my satisfaction? $2.4 billion, but he's the 1,380th wealthiest person in the world. Again, serious loser. Now, I brought up how this was weirdly done, just because, and a shout out to the people who pointed this out to me on Twitter when I shared the screenshot. Steve Ballmer is not listed here, obviously, of the Los Angeles Clippers. Steve Cohen of the Mets is not listed either. David Tepper obviously owns the Carolina Panthers, among a number of different things. He's not listed. I don't know why Forbes wouldn't also include them under sports. I don't know if Forbes went with the primary way that these people amassed their wealth in life, but they are all more wealthy or have a higher net worth than Jerry Jones and the Cowboys. But at the very least, if we're just looking at the sports people here, Jerry Jones was listed as second by Forbes, trailing Stan Kroenke, who does inhabit the same space that Jerry Jones does, namely the NFL. Ironically, you could attribute a large portion of Stan Kroenke's wealth to Jerry Jones, because it was Jerry who spearheaded the NFL's return back to Los Angeles, which has obviously been a huge reason for Stan amassing the wealth that he has over the course of the last, whatever it's been, 8 years. So, you know, SoFi Stadium has a lot to do with that and things like that, whatever. But yeah, Jerry Jones, number two here. And there are people, I don't even want to call them cynics, but people who would say that as long as things like that continue to be the case, that nothing will ever change with the Dallas Cowboys. And I used to really fight back against that. I used to really push back hard. I used to say, no, you're just being negative. You know, the Cowboys definitely care about winning, but this is the most difficult time I've ever had refuting those kinds of arguments. This is the most difficult offseason I've ever had, the most difficult time since I've either been covering this team professionally for a living or been a fan of the team. This is the most difficult time I've ever had dispelling that notion, because they didn't call Derrick Henry and they continue to whine and cry and bemoan about salary cap space when they have all these options available to them, but they just aren't willing to pursue them. It is what it is. Thank you to those of you who have subscribed to the Blog and the Boys podcast network and to the Blog and the Boys YouTube channel. Those things mean a lot. Like I said, our draft coverage will be ramping up. Our live draft shows obviously will be going on as we get, you know, closer and closer to the NFL draft. We'll share those exact plans with you. But for now, my name is RJ Ochoa. You can follow me on Twitter, Instagram, or Threads at RJ Ochoa, or on TikTok at RJ.Ochoa. If you'd like to send me an email, you can do so at RJ.Ochoa@SBNation.com, or you can leave a comment down below in the YouTube video, and I will do my best to get to those. But for now, I'm going to bid you adieu. I hope you have the greatest day ever. I hope you have the most wonderful day of all time, the most wonderful week and weekend and year and decade and life of all time. You know why? Because you deserve it. We will see you mañana, my friends. As always, go Cowboys, and peace out.